Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. To my faithful listeners, welcome back. I pray that you all had a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and a very Happy New Year. So before we begin to do anything else, I want to remind you that you can call in to chat today at 888-627-6008. Again, we want to hear from you, so that number is 888-627-6008. We want to go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Let's just begin by giving God thanks for all that he has done. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now, God, for your many blessings. We thank you, God, for just watching over us and keeping us, Lord, as we transition into this new year, 2016. We pray now, God, for healing and deliverance. We pray now, God, that you lift up out down heads. We pray now, God, that you just move by your spirit, God, and speak to and through us, God, for our listeners on today's show. We know, God, that you know all things and you see all things, God. So just move by your spirit and just touch, God. Touch us individually and then touch us collectively. We pray now, God, that this show goes forth in the spirit in which you've sent it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, thank you and welcome back. We took a little bit of a break from the last show, so I know that, you know, for those that were listening, you did hear a recorded show, so you got some reiteration then on some of the things that we discussed on the previous show in regard to a godly man. Today's show topic is Reset, and it is based on the book by my bishop, Bishop Joseph Warren Walker, and the objective of Reset, of course, as we are going into a new year, is that sometimes we have to start over with all of us, for whatever the reason is. We have to allow God to do what Bishop calls a hard reset in our lives. And he refers to the cell phone and how our cell phones can sometimes just become overcrowded with junk and it does not function at full capacity because there are so many things and so many apps and things that we've gone into on the internet or however we've utilized the device. We have not allow the device to be reset completely so that it can be used going back to the default settings, as he states in his book. So our guest today is Pastor Terrence Kent, and he's going to be speaking with us again on this topic of maybe starting over. Pastor Kent, are you there?
I am here. Bless the Lord. I thank you for having me again.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, you have become one of our fast favorites on the show. I think there are a couple of people that our audience really enjoys hearing, and you are definitely one of those. So we appreciate your being here with us on today's show. Did you have a great holiday?
I had a great holiday.
Wonderful.
A great holiday.
Okay, very good. So one of the things that I really like about this book, Reset, Terrence, is that in the beginning, Bishop starts to talk about how to prepare yourself, not just for this book, but how to prepare yourself for any message, basically. He gives an outline and a breakdown of expectations and how to receive a word. He talks about how we can be reset by, you know, by prayer, by reading God's word. And there are several examples in the Bible, you know, that talk to us and speak to us about how to realign ourselves with God's will and how to get before God. And basically start over if there is a need. He tells us for our listening audience to make a list of questions and start to write down your prayers. And I know sometimes people have this traditional idea of how we should pray, you know, outside of the prayer, the model prayer that Jesus gave us. You know, sometimes there are some other things that we need to be talking to God about. So in the task of resetting, one of the things that Bishop suggests that we do is go ahead and start writing down some of the things that we want to talk to God about. One, so that we remember, but two, so that it's fresh in our mind and we are consistent as we begin to pray and talk to God. So again, he gives the example of resetting a smartphone. And how he says that we too as Christians can become stale and find ourselves operating, you know, at less than the capacity that God has designed us for. Pastor Kent, can you speak to that and sometimes how we are not really where God wants us to be, but we just kind of keep going and we're not functioning properly?
Well, what happens is, first of all, with the example that he gave of a cell phone, we have to understand that when you reset your cell phone, you not only are erasing some of the bad stuff that has your phone not functioning in the greatest capacity, but you also erase some of the things that you're familiar with.
That's right.
That,
come on, yeah.
You put into the phone. What happens is, first of all, with resetting, you're going to lose some numbers that you needed or that you thought you needed.
That's right.
But what you realize after you reset it, some of those numbers that you thought you needed, you hadn't called in a long time anyway.
That's right.
And so what happens is, with our life, with our being, sometimes we have to get to a point, or God puts us to the point, where he wants to reset us fully. And
that's right.
One of the things we have to do, when you were speaking about prayer, when we go to God, let's put down our formalities and give God our issues.
All right.
We give God a few things, but we won't give him the full capacity of our issues. When you reset a phone, you clean out everything.
That's right.
So that's there's nothing you can save or nothing you can keep on your hard drive on your phone because it erases everything. Well, that's where God wants to put us. That's the place God wants to put us. Sometimes we're full of so much junk. We feel like if we just erase a few things, if we delete a few apps in our life, you know, then our strength will come back. No, God wants to destroy and clean out every app or every problem in our life, every issue.
Right.
We need to stop going to God with our part issues.
All right.
Because when we go to God with our part issues, our problems come back later.
That's
right. You know what I'm saying?
When
we just delete some of the apps out of our phone, sooner or later, our phone does what is what it's called. Every month, it'll
do an update.
And when you give an update, it updates and it takes out more space than it was at first. Sometimes we leave God with some of our issues, but the issues that we kept come back with more force than they had in the first place. So we
largely
have to give
because,
them all our issues.
That's right. And the reason that I think that we do that is largely because, you know, sometimes as Christians, we may be in denial. We may excuse, you know, some of our own behaviors and begin to point blame at other people. And not accept what it is that you know really got us here, and how it is that we need to get up from that. You know, I really like the scripture in Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because what happens is your mind begins to take you back to some of that stuff that's on your hard drive, whether it's some stuff that happened throughout your life, you know, people that hurt you, you know, some negative experiences, even some good experiences, but with the wrong folks. So therefore, it makes it a bad experience as well. But it's important not to just update, you know, as you said, but to go back and periodically do a total reset, because some of the info that's on your heart and on your mind can be corrupted. You know, everything that we think, you know, is not necessarily godly all the time. And so because sometimes we misremember or have misrepresented or mislabeled or mistranslated or mismanaged or taken some shortcuts and you know, just cut some corners in life and done some things that we were not necessarily supposed to do, unless we do a total hard drive reset, we may want to refer back to some of those ways and some of those things and some of those people that God has told us to let go of and to get away from. So therefore, we have to recalibrate, go back and recalibrate that data, to remember, you know, what exactly is the will of God for my life? You know, maybe we're just not being productive, or maybe we've just been going through life just kind of empty and void and don't know our purpose. You know, maybe our life is just in complete disarray for some. You just kind of don't know what to do with yourself. But in order to move from where you are to fulfilling the call of God on your life or whatever your God-given assignment is, it does require you to do a total reset and to just start over. I like the story in John 5 about the man at the pool of Bethesda. This man had been lying there in the same situation for 38 years. And when Jesus came along, Jesus was on his way. He was coming to the festivities of the Jews, but this man was at the pool. Now, Jesus had just performed a couple of miracles elsewhere, but I like, first of all, how God came to see about him. Jesus stopped by at the pool. All these folks are out there. They're all lame. They're all sick. They have all kinds of issues. The man is lying down on the porch. You know, as the Bible says, there were five porches. And a porch is supposed to be a place that's temporary. A porch is supposed to be a place that's utilized for entrance and exit. You know, however, this man had been laying there on the porch in a place where he shouldn't have been in the first place for 38 years. And one of the things, Pastor Kent, is that sometimes we get in a situation and we're stuck there. We don't move. If anybody comes and asks us a question, we're pointing blame because we have this expectation of the traditional way of getting off the porch. And so if that doesn't work for us, then we begin to say, well, you know, my daddy wasn't there, or, you know, my mother was abusive, or, you know, the man left me, or the woman cheated on me, or, you know, whatever happened in the past becomes the excuse and the reason that you can't get up off of the porch and out of this situation when Jesus is right there. The answer is standing right there before you, but you have to accept it.
Well, a lot of times we get to a point as Christians, we use the excuse of, well, if God don't do it, it just won't get done.
Uh-huh.
And that's not because if God won't do it, God has done it, mm-hmm. and he's put it in a place where it's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. But faith without works is dead.
Absolutely dead. That's
right. Can't you know, but we're so comfortable where mm-hmm. we're at. Church people have gotten to a point where they're comfortable in misery.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we disguise it as pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
We put makeup on these bruises.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we cover up, we dress up. You know, and I've heard that you can't be pretty in an ugly situation.
Mm, all right.
You know, we can't sit here and get all sanctimonious mm-hmm. in the church and look so good and don't have no issues. Mm-hmm. Well, it says the people are, you know, people are changed by your testimony.
That's right.
But if we never tell our testimony, if we mm-hmm. never go through anything, if we never go through a test, we won't have a testimony.
That's right.
It's the first thing.
That's right.
We're too scared to go through tests because we're too worried about other people judging us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's problem number one. Problem number one is the church has gotten too judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
When we're actually a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Stop dressing your problems up, bring it to church, and bring your, it says, cast all your cares on him.
That's right.
For he cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cast your cares on him. He's right there with his hands out waiting for you to cast your cares upon him. But instead of casting your cares upon him, we go and shake his hand, get a good feel good, get a good shout. Mm. We're just sweating with bruises.
All right. Absolutely. And I think for some of us, you know, we have to make up our minds to go ahead and get off the porch.
The renewing of your mind. Yes.
That's right. The renewing of our mind. And if our mind is on Christ and we allow God to completely renew our minds in the first place, then he's going to show us. Now, again, you know, just like the man, whether or not we accept it is up to us. But I like how Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? Because like you said, we've become so comfortable with being in the situations that we're in that we just kind of dress them up and excuse our behaviors. And then other people start to help you to make excuses. Be like, oh, well, you know, sister so-and-so is just like that. She always act like she mad. Or yeah, sister such-and-such just talks like that. You know, that's just how she is. No, it's not how she is. It's not what the word of God says, you know, that we're supposed to be doing with our lives. So first, let me go back and remind our listening audience, if you have have a comment or you have a question, or you want to just call in and talk about how you have had to reset your life, then that number again is 888-627-6008. Now, I'll remind us too that, you know, there are several areas of our lives that sometimes do need to be reset. So whether it's our finances, whether it's just resetting our focus and getting our agenda back aligned with what the Word of God says for our lives, whether it's some of our friendships that we need to reset. For some of us, our careers need to be reset. We may need to go back to school and enhance some things in order to be promoted or to move into, you know, a different area. Sometimes we say, well, yes, promotion comes from the east, and neither the east nor the west, but it comes from God. But I want you to understand that in the society that we live in these careers, we have to sometimes have an education. And so we can't excuse, well, they just didn't like me on the job. But, you know, there are some things that you need to do, and you might need to go back and enhance your college education. You know, for some that don't have one at all, God might be speaking to you about getting education. And one of the biggest things that I think that we don't consider all the time is that we have to reset our marriages. A lot of times when people get married, the things that you do to get them are the things that you need to do to keep them. If you kept yourself up and you made sure that you dressed properly, and sisters, if you were cooking when you got him, then you need to be in there making some biscuits or doing something, at least go and buy some frozen ones. Good Lord, you know, you can't just stop and sit down from the things that you did in the beginning in order to go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was gonna say, I promise you, as a husband,
yes,
we'll be more satisfied with you going in the kitchen and burning something than you not trying it off.
I understand that totally and completely, because, you know, sometimes, you know, we all get comfortable. And I can say that men do that too. You know, women, we sometimes stop cooking, we stop, you know, working out, and all of a sudden, you know, we're sitting around and what my grandmother used to call, quote unquote, fat and happy, you know, because you got the man now and you don't have to work out anymore, or you don't have to do anything, but the devil is a lie. The same things that you did to get him, you need to do to keep him. And for men, if you were buying flowers and if you spoke to her a certain way, if you were opening doors, you know, why now, you know, y'all run outside, girl, you better go and jump in. It's cold out here. You know, it's just not how it works. Some of our marriages, you know, also need to be reset, because when you think about it, the home is the nucleus of the church. You know, if the husband and wife have everything together at home and they're praying and they're standing before God, then they're the examples to the children. And then you go as a family unto the house of God or into the place where you worship, and you're already where you need to be, so you can get in line with the man of God, because the husband is aligned with the Word, the wife is aligned with the husband, the children are aligned with both parents. The family becomes the nucleus of the church.
So for
most of us, you know, we have to realize that it's not about what we go through, but how we go through. It's all about how you react to different situations in our lives. And we have to stop playing the victim all the time. We have to stop wallowing in our pity, like the man again in John 5, because what happened is, once Jesus asked him, do you want to be made whole? You know, the scripture doesn't state it, but Jesus immediately just went to, look, take up your bed and walk, you know, get up from this mess that you're in. Pick up the mat.
Because
some of us need to take up our mats.
Well, the problem is, and I think a lot of people don't get healed from their situation, whether it's finances or marriages or illnesses or anything like that. But first of all, to go to a hospital to get healed, you have to acknowledge you got a problem.
That's right.
And a lot of us don't want to acknowledge we have a situation, an issue, a problem. Mm-hmm. We don't want to acknowledge we have an issue. The woman with the issue of blood, she acknowledges she has a issue.
That's right.
It don't matter what issue it is, she had to acknowledge that she had an issue. And so in order to acknowledge you have an issue, then she could get help. She said, but if I just touch the hem of his garment, that means that she knew that I need to get something done to this problem I have. I need to something to this issue. I need to make some kind of provision and step my faith out and do some kind of works to get this situation solved, to do something about this issue. Well, you sitting on the couch complaining about your credit bad is not acknowledging you have an issue.
That's right.
You getting up and doing something and paying or calling some of those places that you owe is acknowledging
that's
you
right.
have an issue.
That's
and
right.
it's at that point that you can get stuff solved. You talking about your marriage is going downhill, that's not acknowledging you have an issue. That's throwing a log on the fire. I knew this wasn't going to work. I knew this would. But you getting up, sir, and doing something about it, you going and getting cleaned up, and you take your wife out on a dinner or making her a picnic if your finances is low, or you putting your beer or your liquor money or your gambling money or whatever aside and getting her a pedicure and manicure, that's acknowledging and that's doing something about the situation. Let's just be real here, church people.
That's right. That's right. Because sometimes, you know, as you stated, we're doing the wrong things with our money anyway. And then we go back and wonder, how come we don't have the money to do the things we need to do? Well, because you weren't doing what thus said the Lord. You threw your money out there for something else. And then you come back after the fact and like, well, I don't have the money to do this and I don't have the money to do that. You know, now you don't have the money for your necessities, but you were not taking care of home, you know, as you said before. One of the things about the woman with the issue as well is that she tried everything she knew how, but it was not until she went to Jesus. And that's where we come in. You know, a lot of times we'll try to work it out ourselves and try to figure stuff out ourselves, but we have to go to God so that God can show us how to start over. God shows us how to get this thing done. God shows us how to renew our marriages. God shows us how to make ourselves, marketable in our careers. God shows us how to get our finances straight. And one of the things about that clearly, you know, is in our tithes and offering, you know. So if we're not tithing and giving God what already belongs to him, the Bible says we're robbing God. And then we're working with a bag with holes in it. So then you can't hold on to your money anyway because you're not doing what you were supposed to do with it in the first place. You know, with some of our friendships, we already know we got to let go of some of them friends and, you know, some of those people that we deal with. Our minds have not been on God. Our mind has been on having a good time, you know, or doing things that are ungodly in the first place. So, you know, therefore, back to those excuses, you know.
Yeah. And I like what you just said.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm sorry. No. I was just saying, I like what you just said was where she after she done all she could, and went and seek help and everything else, and nothing worked. After we've asked Ayana to fix our life, after we've read all these self-help books, after we, you know, why do we have to go through all this process and do all this before we go to God?
And we do.
You know, the song says he was there all the time.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and that's a part of resetting. Resetting the actual meaning. Resetting was like taking something back to its original place.
That's right.
You know, came from God. Mm-hmm. We got away from God. Mm-hmm. So now he's trying to reset our life back to him. The problem is church people, and I say church people a lot, because what we're trying to get out of is the religious mindset, and let's be kingdom-minded now.
That's right.
And to be kingdom-minded, what God is trying to do to us is he's trying to put us back in a place where we're in love with him again, so stuff can line up. The thing is about love, it doesn't always feel good, but it's good for you.
All right now.
And
that is absolutely
true. And you don't want to get to a point where God voluntarily or involuntarily resets your life. Because he's going to get love out of you because that's all he knows. He's going to love you whether you like it or not.
That's right. That's right. And there are some distinct characteristics of love or being loving or saying that we're Christians, you know, that fall into the classification of love. There are 16 characteristics of love, and I really like it because, you know, coming into this new year of 2016, people like to hear numbers, but you hit the nail on the head with love, because no matter what we're doing, you know, we have to do it in love. God loves us, you know, and we know how to love because he loved us. And so, you know, with those characteristics of love, for instance, love is patient. the Bible says. So if you're a person who's impatient, and especially when it's always your confession, you know, you hear people a lot of times say, oh, I just don't have any patience for that. Oh, I don't have any patience for this. You know, well, praise God. You know, the Bible says that love is patient. I mean, you know, starting with something that's seemingly so small, you know, the Bible says love is kind. So if you're, you know, a mean-spirited person and you're always mad and you're always unhappy, you're not loving. I mean, and it's just that simple. Like you said, that's when we become church folks. And we're not acting like people of God, Pastor Kent. The Bible says love is not jealous. Love doesn't brag, and love is not arrogant. I mean, you know, in those things alone, we learn to be confident in the things of God. But if you're arrogant in yourself and your abilities and the things that you can do, then no, it's not going to work. It's like the woman with the issue. You know, you're going to have to come back to God after you tried all the stuff that you think you can do. You know, after you tried every doctor, every man, everybody that seemingly, you know, had the title or seemingly had the ability to help or had the education, you know, to possibly help you, like you mentioned Iyanla, you know, or you know, women going to a man and not the man that God has caused you to be with, you know, then that's what you get, you know. But when you go back to Jesus, the master, the author, and the finisher of our faith, praise God, then you can be reset and be just as clear as to the things that you're supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to be doing them, you know, because God does give us an outline, as you mentioned, just in love in 1 Corinthians 13. It's really clear. Yes. So the other thing that I like that Bishop says in the book is he does a quote where he said, while tears and sweat are a lot alike, both are comprised of water and salt, but tears will earn you sympathy, but sweat will earn you success. So as you stated, faith without works is absolutely dead. There's nothing that you can do in resetting your life and especially coming into this new year. As I stated, people make resolutions, but in order to actually be successful, you know, you're going to have to sweat. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to apply your faith to some works like the woman did that had the issue.
And yes. And don't be modeled or don't let this year be a repeat of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come into this year making, idle promises to yourself when you hadn't dealt with the inner you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear resolutions every year. I'm gonna start off this year working out. I'm gonna lose weight this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get my finances together this year. I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still doing everything the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You
That's
know,
right.
You want your finances better, but you're still not paying tithe.
That's right.
You know, you want to work out, but you're still eating in fast food restaurants 5 out of 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, but you have to go. It's past the fleshly part of that.
Mm-hmm.
What's on the inside of you that's not allowing you to do these things?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not paying your tithe?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you paying your tithe because you heard granddaddy and them way back in the day said, I'm not taking my money to their church?
Uh-huh.
You know, mm-hmm. are you overeating because back in the day, you know, you felt like your self-esteem was low, so I'm going to keep eating anyway. I'm going to do this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016, let's not make your resolution. But let's actually resolve some things in our life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And to resolve some things in our life, we have to get back to the basics. Let's get back to loving God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you love God, it trickles down and you start loving yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And when you start loving yourself, things will automatically change. Your mm-hmm. mindset will change. By the renewing
That's
of
right.
our mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can change your flesh all day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can lose 100 pounds. You can go get a gastric bypass and you can lose all this weight. You can
That's
do
true.
This. You can do that. You can. But if your mindset is the same, I don't care how many gastric
That's
bypasses
right.
you get, you were gaining that weight all back over because your mindset didn't change.
That's right.
I don't care if you go out and you gamble and you win the lottery. You'll still be broke in 10 years because your mindset hadn't changed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't care if you divorced 12 wives and you done found the right one again. If you're not loving her like you're supposed to be loving her, if you're not loving God first, your mindset hadn't changed, and you'll be on divorce number 13.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is true. And some of us just have, you know, some really ugly situations, you know, like the one with the issue. It was an ugly situation. You know, it was a bad situation. And some of us, you know, are out here, you know, as Paul said, on broken pieces over in Acts 27. You know, here it is that you know, you have an assignment for your life, but you're in an ugly situation. Here it is, you know, Paul is shipwrecked in Acts 27. And there are some people who end up drowning if they try to stay with the boat, but on those broken pieces, you can still survive. Can you speak to that, Pastor Kent?
In Acts 27, I love that. It was speaking of how they were on the ship with Paul, and the weather and everything had them tossed and turned.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw him off the ship to get to dry land, to get to the promise, to get to a place where he needed to be. The problem is a whole lot of us are holding on to something that's sinking.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and the situation is, as it's sinking and you holding on to something that's sinking, you sink with it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those people jumped overboard and they swim to land.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those people couldn't get to land except for the broken pieces that they were on. It's funny. I heard that this week, and mm-hmm. it was saying, I think the scripture says, the scripture says, and they were on broken pieces of the ship, and mm-hmm. some of them escaped. Some of them swim, and some mm-hmm. of them had to hold on to the pieces and floated over. Situation of that is, let's deal with that. Some of them swam. You know, some of those people jumped off that boat that never swam before. but they were put into a situation where they couldn't nothing but swim or die.
That's right.
Some of us come into this new year that we had to get into this new year, whether it was to swim or die. God has put us in some of these situations, some of these abusive situations, some of these mental states that we are to show us that we have the strength to swim for life, the strength mm-hmm. to overcome situations, to mm-hmm. get to land, to dry land, to get to promise, to get to success, to get to victory, because we are victorious. Whether you get there on broken pieces, which is a broken marriage, or mm-hmm. you get there on broken health, or you get there on broken situations or problems, no matter how you got there, as long as you get there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But if you stay on the ship, if you stay right there where you're at, if you stay in that place where you're just comfortable with, it's going to sink.
The misery.
And you're going to sink
mm-hmm.
with it. It's
That's
misery.
Right.
You're going to die in that situation.
That's right.
People didn't know that when they got on the Titanic was beautiful. The Titanic mm-hmm. was supposed to be unsinkable. The Titanic mm-hmm. was all of this and all mm-hmm. of that. But the Titanic ran into a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that stayed on the Titanic, they sank with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But it was some people on the Titanic that had never been on the water before in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But once that boat started going down and they jumped into that water, they had either one or two choices.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Give up and die, or swim mm-hmm. and grab on to their help and live again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God is at a place where he has his hands out, even though mm-hmm. you're on broken pieces, even though it seems like you're on your last dime. You have mm-hmm. to go back into your remembrance and realize, this mm-hmm. $10 that I have is my last $10. Oh, mm-hmm. but I can remember when back in the day, God got me through with $5.
That's right. That's right.
So I have to reset my mindset that if I got through with $5 and he done doubled it and gave me $10 this time,
mm-hmm.
then I know I'm victorious.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But it's not until we get into that mentality where, oh, Lord, I got $5 and I don't know what I'm going to do. And then we take the cop out of, well, if it's your will, Lord, and you didn't do it. No, you have to get in love. You have to get in remembrance. I heard this story where there was a child in October. He asked his daddy, Dad, would you buy me a bike for Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
And the dad says, yes, son, I'll buy you a bike for Christmas. Well, the child went to school, and every day he was telling his friends and stuff, y'all, I'm going to get a bike for Christmas. My dad mm-hmm. said he's going to buy me a bike for Christmas. My dad says he's going to give me a bike. Oh my God, I just can't wait for Christmas. My dad's going to buy me a bike. Mm-hmm. And this young man, this boy, said that to everybody he ran into, he just kept speaking, I'm going to get a bike for Christmas. I'm going to get a bike mm-hmm. for Christmas. This was in October. Well, in November, the beginning of November, the dad came home with a bike. Mm-hmm. And so the wife asked, she said, it's not Christmas yet. Why are you getting a bike now for Christmas? He said that he was so excited about my word that I gave him to the point that I'm going to bless him early.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of y'all done got some seeds in the ground that y'all playing like y'all forgetting, and y'all throw a little mud on it instead of just watering the seed and keep mm-hmm. on bringing back to God's remembrance mm-hmm. of what he got for you.
Mm-hmm.
You actually don't have to wait till Christmas. You don't have to wait till when he said he's going to give it to you in 60 days. You can get it in 60 minutes if you keep bringing it back to his remembrance and have a relationship with him and quit waddling in that mud instead and start fertilizing with the word.
That's right.
Then God just may have it for you tomorrow.
That's right. That's right.
But we're too busy holding on to the issue. We're mm-hmm. too busy holding on and looking at the mud and not realizing just up under this mud that there's a seed growing in the ground.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
There's and, you a know,
the thing about that is, you know, sometimes we're so focused on what it looks like. But as you mentioned, you know, under that mud, you know, is a seed growing in the ground. And God has a way, you know, as you stated with the little boy, I like that story, to bless you early, to bless you ahead of schedule. You know, because he already yeah. knows the appointed time and the place for us anyway. However, you know, we have in our minds, well, in this time frame, maybe, you know, I'll have this, and in this time frame, I'll have that. But if you just set your sights on God and focus on God, he will not just bless you, but he'll bless you to be a blessing. Like with the story of Esther, the Bible says in Esther 4:14, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, you know, and God is blessing you for such a time as this. He's not just blessing us to come away from our issues and come away from the things that we have been wallowing in, or the situations where we've been stuck, or the porches in which we've been laying for so long and making excuses and blame. But God is blessing us to be a blessing to the kingdom, a blessing to others, a blessing to our families. Because with Esther, you know, she ended up being a blessing to everybody around her, to her entire community. But the choice, yeah. you know, for us is to actually reset, deal with the consequences of doing so, because Esther was in preparation for a year. All those women were in preparation for a year and hoping to be uh-huh. the one who was chosen to be the queen, selected for the king. Mm-hmm. But we know from the story of Esther that her background wasn't so good. She was an orphan, and she had to be raised by her cousin Mordecai. Now, in her having to be raised by Mordecai, these were the descendants of the Jews that were carried away by King Nebuchadnezzar generations earlier. So this is somebody who could have been stuck on what happened to her before. This is somebody who could have been stuck on the fact that she was an orphan, you know, because we all have situations. We all have issues, just like the woman with the issue. We all have some things that we go through. But here it is that the king was looking for a queen. There were a whole lot of other women who were brought before him that were beautiful. But Esther already had the favor of God on her life. So instead of, you know, just, okay, I'm cute, okay, I got this and that going on, when you have the favor of God on your life, even though you come from a crazy background or some ugly situations, God will bless you even in the midst of all of that.
Yes,
so the Bible says,
like,
go ahead. Well, go on, go ahead, Pastor.
I was going to say, just like the story of David. David was anointed to be king at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
But David, when he got anointed, David didn't go from being anointed straight to the palace.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up that David gets anointed, then gets hunted down and chased by the person that anointed him.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going, David going to the palace, David went to the cave.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And what happened is a lot of us get a word from God.
Mm-hmm.
We get anointed, or we get something from God. And because we don't go straight to the anointing, or we don't go straight to the prize, then we feel like God ain't giving up on us. Or we feel like God just ain't doing what he said he gonna do, or it ain't God's will, or no. There's a process.
Mm-hmm.
If David would have been anointed king and went straight to the palace then David wouldn't have been able to write the Psalms in the way he wrote the Psalms.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the way he wrote the Psalms is David had to go through a process of, it's not in the numerical order that we read them in the Bible, but
that's
David
right.
goes from praying,
yes.
Lord, get me out this cave,
yes.
to actually worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
By saying, well, God, I'm in this cave, but I will bless the Lord at all
yes,
times.
Yes, come on here now.
That means, God, it don't matter what situation I'm in. God, I know what your promise was, but right now I'm in this cave, God, so you're going to send me some cave friends so I
yes.
can know how to act when I get to the palace.
Come on now.
So you have to deal with the situation where you're at right now, because right now, actually, you don't need no palace friend, because you get some palace friends when your palace go down, they ain't going to leave, too. When your money
yes.
gone, your friends going to leave. When your car break down, you ain't going to have no
now.
Ride. They're going to stop calling you, you know?
Yes.
But you actually need some cave friends. You need some friends that'll get on the bus with you right now. So when
all
you
right,
get the
man.
Car, they know how to act when you get a car. You need some friends yes. that right now, they come visit you when you're in an apartment, so when you get the house, then they'll mm-hmm. know how to treat your house.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
We forget about the process.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We want a microwave anointing.
Mm-hmm. We sure do. We want it right quick, fast, and in a hurry. Now I want to say one other thing about Esther. It was her access to the king that eventually saved the lives of her people. And we have to know how to have access to our king in our prayer lives, because there are people who are watching us. There are people who pay attention to mm-hmm. everything we do and everything we say. They pay attention to our talk and our walk. They pay attention to how we act at all times. And what we do can affect the lives of a whole lot of other people, just like Esther. Her access to the king caused favor. And for us, our access to the king and our prayer lives can cause somebody to be saved and cause somebody else to want to live right. It can cause somebody else to say, okay, I can do this thing. I've gone through some things, but God has reset my life. But I can do this
yes.
because I see Sister Amina over here as an example of somebody who did start over, and God blessed her, and God still multiplied her, and God still restored her and gave her back everything that she lost and then some, just because of the way that I live my life. Not by what I say, but they're paying attention to what it is that I do. I do see that we have a caller. Looks like we might have dropped our caller. But again, I want to say, you know, to the saints, you know, God is not just blessing you for you to store up your goods. God is not just blessing you for you to be able to say, you know, I have this and I have that. But God is blessing you to be a blessing to other people and to be an example. Not only that, if you're a parent, remember that your children are watching you. It's not all about what you say, but they're watching to see exactly what it is that you're doing. So make sure as a parent that you're setting a good example. Don't let your kids see you one way at home and another way at church. Don't let your kids, you know, hear you talking about love, but you know, you're out on the street in the neighborhood going off on everybody. It has to be, you know, an absolute in your life with whoever you say you are. Kids are looking and making sure that you're really doing the things that you say you do. Love should just be oozing from you, because we say that we're Christians. Pastor Ken, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm still there.
Okay. Amen.
I was listening. Amen. but you're right. Don't. You are an advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know how a person acts at home? Look at their children. If the children are disrespectful, it's something they heard or they were taught at the house.
That's right.
Now, we can say all we want to that, no, they got a mind of their own. I beg to differ. If your child is nice to everybody except Sister Susie, it's because you've been talking about Sister Susie.
Yeah, that's the likelihood. That is the likelihood.
You know, and we have to understand that our children are an example of us. I was what they call a drug baby. My mama drugged me to BTU. She drugged me to women's course. She drugged me to Sunday night service. I was a drug baby. She drugged me everywhere. to the point that I became older and I stopped going to church. But even when I was out on the street doing what I wanted to do, I still had a foundation in me that God was still dealing with me.
That's right.
You know, it wasn't that, and I'm not scared to tell my testimony, it wasn't when I got in jail that I was going, man. No, some of those nights when I was incarcerated came from me sitting there, laying on the bed, and a word come to my mind. You know, that God said he'll never leave me nor forsake me.
All right.
You know, okay, God, you know, they're fighting. They're about to kill, you know, I got some people about to kill me. It's like, well, if you get in me, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
That's right.
You know, those are the type of situations that you get put in that when a word comes back to you, then you know that you're in the safety of God, that you're in the love of God. But it's a sad situation for our children, even me as a parent, that now we come to a day where our children don't have no word.
That's
you know,
right.
They get into a situation and, quote, unquote, they can twerk you up on the table. They can name they can. Down, but they ain't got no word.
All right. All right. And that's when we're in a sad place.
Yeah, we're in a sad place. And I just wanted to say, you know, that we all have fallen short of the glory of God.
That's right.
We all need to be reset in our life. Don't think that you're in a place that no one has ever been before. Don't think that your problem, your issue is bigger than my problem and my issue. Now, my problem and my issue may not be the same as yours, but we still got issues.
That's right.
And so let's get to a place where we reset our love back to God, our relationship back to God.
That's right.
You know, especially us as men, our family depend on it.
That's
our
right.
children depend on it. Our wife, our spouses, our significant others depend on it.
That's right.
You know, we all need the love of God. We all need God. You know, for the guy that has a broken heart, you need God too.
That's right.
For the guy that gave up on church and right now you just so happen came across this podcast, you need God too. He loves you too. For that guy who just ain't been to church in a long time, but his wife, you know, has been bothering him and God's been dealing with your heart, you need God. He still loves you too. For that woman who has been raped in her past or she keeps coming across these no good men that are dogging her out, you know what? You need God too. He'll heal your heart too. You know, for that woman who felt like she was no good for God because she's young and she had a baby out of wedlock, you know, God loves you too. You know, we all need God. And so I just wanted to just instill in everyone's heart to reset for real. Don't give God the pretty stuff. Give him everything.
Well, praise God. Looks like we had a little bit of a technical difficulty, but I thank God. Before we get ready to close out, I will say that I know that we did have a guest who was on the line, and I want to say thank you again to Pastor Terrence Kent. As a reminder, our topic for today has been reset. So if any of our listeners would like to call in and offer any of your experiences or talk about you're having to reset your own life in any way, shape, or form, that number again is 888-627-6008. Thank God again for all of our faithful listeners. Just as a reminder, the book that we've been talking about is Reset. Now, there are times when we do go through things as a Christian, but you have to remember that people are watching how you handle it. You don't get to go out and rob a bank just because you're short of money. You don't get to go out and sell drugs just because, you know, you need to make a few dollars. But God has a way, a set plan, an ordained plan for how it is that, you know, we are to go about doing things. It's important how you accept your healing and how you accept, you know, going through and then letting God deliver you from those things and how you recover from it. You know, we can't walk around as Christians and say, well, God is a healer and God is a deliverer, you know, but all you talk about is the negative things that you're going through or the negative things that you've had to deal with. You can't just dwell on what went wrong and what you don't have and what they didn't do for you. But as you think about it, some of us would still be in unhealthy relationships and unhealthy situations if, you know, God had not allowed us to go through some of the things that we've had to go through to cause us to have to reset or start over. Some of us would still be on some jobs that are paying us minimum wage and stressing us to the maximum. If you had not been terminated, you would not even know, you know, what it is that God really had to offer for you and how it is that God could enhance or increase your finances. When God gets through healing your wounds and restoring you and rebuilding you, restoring your health, he positions you in a place, as Terrence Kent said, from the book of Revelations, where the Bible said, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So let's go to our caller. I do see that we have a caller on the line. Caller?
Hi, how are you today?
Hey, I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm loving the program today.
Amen. Amen. You want to tell us who you are, caller?
My name is Esther Hunter. And I'm just excited about what I'm hearing about resetting. That's such a powerful word to begin the new year with.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for calling in, Sister Hunter. You again are one of our favorite guests also on the show. So I appreciate you calling
Thank
in with a word
so
of
much.
Encouragement. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you for being on. So, do you have some experience with the reset?
You know, as your previous guest was saying, talking about David and how he encouraged himself in the Lord. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I just wanted to throw in there is mm-hmm. that praise actually is like the reset button.
Yes.
Because in Psalms 8, he says that the enemy, he says you can steal the enemy and the avenger with mm-hmm. your praise.
That's
and
right.
So just in talking about resetting, re, the prefix re, actually means to do it again. And
that's
so
right.
I just want to encourage everybody who's listening in to East Corner today to know that God will do it again. And your praise is like that reset button. Once you mash it, it actually gives you the energy, the strength, and mm-hmm. the encouragement to go ahead and believe God that you
that's
can
right.
reset your life for this year. So
that's right.
just all I wanted to say. I really have just been enjoying the program and listening in. And, you know, I just couldn't help it. I had to just call in and fill my little bit in for January.
Thank you so
much.
That if you
start this year out praising, you will not regret it.
That's right. Thank you so much for calling in, Sister Hunter. We appreciate you. God bless you.
Bless you.
Bye-bye. Amen. Bye-bye. Some of us need to ask ourselves questions, you know, as Sister Hunter says, what do we do as we're going through, you know, but that reset and that realignment, as she said, can start with just praising God. When you're in the midst of a situation, if you just stop and lift up your hands and thank God and praise God for what he's done and praise God in advance for what he's going to do in your life, the enemy cannot stop you because now he can't throw you off track like what he thought he was going to do. But if you stop and just acknowledge God in every situation and say, okay, God, what is this about? You know, for some of us, you know, we found ourselves empty and have a lack of direction or a lack of control or feeling frustrated or have become fearful, you know, in regard to some things that are going on in our lives. And some of us may need to ask ourselves some questions. What is it that stands in your way as a Christian? What missions might God have for you as he calls you to reset? Who are some of the role models in your life that you can look to or call on as you begin to reset? Because sometimes we need some help as we begin to walk out this Christian life. And, you know, we have these little road bumps and things that come along here and there. We need to know, okay, I can call Sister Amina or I can call Sister Hunter or I can call Pastor Kent. And these people will tell me, oh, yeah, go to this scripture or, okay, I'll pray with you or, okay, I'll walk with you. I'll be there with you, you know, and help you along the way. Because we need some help sometimes, just like that man who was lying at the pool of Bethesda. Just like that man, we still have to go back sometimes and reach for Jesus, pick up our mat, come up out of the situation that we're in. The common thread with all the things that I mentioned, the emptiness and the lack of direction, the common thread with all of these is when you're living your life with meaning, when you're living your life according to the plan of God, then you won't feel this way. These are reactions of negativity, disorientation, usually being confused about what it is that you're supposed to do with your life. And all of this comes from not being or doing what it is that God would have us to do when we're supposed to be doing it. If you stop and just set aside some quiet time with God, if you stop and just pay attention to the word of God, he's already given you an outline. So that'll take away any of the lingering doubts that you have, any of the feelings that you have with not wanting to commit to what it is that God is saying for you to do in your life. Find your purpose in God and just embrace it. Thank you so much for joining Eve's Corner. If you'd like to donate, you can go to the website at www.bbsradio.com/Eve's Corner and click on the donate button. You can also reach us by mail if you would like to send a letter or a donation. That's P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi 39236. Our next show is in 2 weeks. Again, thank you to Pastor Kent for being with us on today. And thank you to Sister Hunter for calling in for the words of encouragement. Thank you all so much for joining. And I want to let you know, if you are in the Jackson, Mississippi area, if you're looking for a good church home, stop by tomorrow, the Word Full Gospel Baptist Church, where our pastor is Dr. J.B. Williams, and just begin to feel the love and get started with your embracing, your reset for the new year. God bless you all. Thank you so much for joining us. Be blessed.